Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to a very special episode of Factions of Freedom. I have actually titled this one, The Psycho-Energetic Potential of Humanity, simply to do somewhat of a redo of our May 2017 episode called Projects, Powers, and Psychics. The reason why that I wanted to do this episode is because that's whenever I first noticed that I was getting censored. I was covering Russian training facilities, and they stopped the transmission live time. But we are back to talk about that and more. But before we do, a few quick updates for you guys. We are beginning to start our exclusive members-only broadcast starting this Sunday to kind of offset the Fellowship and Freedom Show, our second show that we have with On the Wake Up Radio. We will be doing video things, video content, polls, all kinds of different stuff. I'm basically using the exclusive members to begin beta testing new developments for all the other shows. So definitely become an exclusive member. You guys get access to all of our previous content that was deleted by YouTube. You actually get access to our Building the Matrix documentary and so much more. Also, make sure you're subscribing to our new YouTube. We're trying to build our numbers back up. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the views. It's about the message. And speaking of message, make sure you're checking out our website, factionsoffreedom.jimdo.com. We are constantly trying to archive information in the event that they try to take it down. Other places where we're trying to put our information up, Vero and Helanus. You can find us there at Factions of Freedom. And we are slowly but surely getting our Steemit account and our DTube up as well. We clearly have the newsletter still going that you guys can sign up for just in case they try to delete us from YouTube and all the other social media platforms. They can't delete your email, so we'll get the information directly to you. And if you just like what we're doing and you really want to help us, think about purchasing some of the previous season. We have a deal going up right now for $50. You can get all of the show from season 1 to season 5, as well as, you know, the Building the Matrix series. Really, guys, your support helps keep us honest, organic, and independent. And in these types of times, we really do need them. So with that being said, let's jump right into it. This is going to be a wild ride of an episode. So strap yourselves in. This is going to be an epic episode. Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition. Like I said, this episode is kind of a redo of our episode, Projects, Powers, and Psychics. It's a redo, redux, of what we're actually going over, the psycho-energetic potential of humanity. The reason why I wanted to go over this one is because you want to talk about censorship. This is whenever I first noticed that I was getting censored, that the information, some of the things that we were covering, they didn't want to get out. And the reason why we go over these types of things is so we can really look at the dynamic of the human experience. How awesome we truly are. A lot of people don't give themselves credit or even give humanity the credit that it deserves for the fact that we are still here. You know, again, talking about the censorship, what is it that's actually going on? They're targeting people who are actually using their voice to empower, motivate, and uplift people. That's a problem. In the society that we find ourselves living in, empowered individuals are not slaves. So, to get into everything, you know, in the previous episodes, we've been talking about Big Pharma's war on children, the opioid epidemic, how they're literally creating transhuman sheeple, and trans human animal hybrid creatures, water breathing super soldiers, you know, cloning monkeys, all kinds of different things that they are messing with the body. Why is this? And if you guys have paid attention to our previous episodes, anything in the previous season, you've actually heard us talk about, or you heard me talk about, the fact that we have a natural biorhythm, that we are meant to operate in a certain way, but what's happening, the arc field, things like the Schumann resonance, what's happening is they are gradually disconnecting us from these types of sources. And the only way to look at that, to really understand what that means for us, is to, again, look at the different things that they're trying to affect us with, you know, with the vaccines, the GMOs, the chemtrails, everything else, the media, the fear-based propaganda, you know, always keeping us in a constant state of fear to where we can never truly excel or have spiritual oneness, you have to look at the different things that they're doing. And so covering this episode, I really want to highlight the fact, you know, that they are trying to emotionally blunt us, dumb us down, again, disconnect us from source. We had an entire episode on that called Source Severance, where we look at this. Another reason as to why we're doing this episode, it's along the same lines of things like the paranormal, parapsychology, pseudoscience, paranormalia, the supernatural, and other things that are in that category of just plain weird. Because again, we really have to understand the human experience when looking at this. We really don't. We don't understand like our power. We've been systematically disenfranchised from our power. And if this is the case, how are we to get back to point? You see. So there's obviously, you know, I could cover everything else that's going on in the news. Some of the stuff that we see happening with America, that we see happening with Australia, that we see happening with Iran, that we see happening in Syria. But I felt like taking a break and really looking at this type of stuff, really looking at, you know, what's going on, what happens to us. So as I said, we're going to be going over things like Project Centerland, Project Grill Flame, Project Sunstreak, and basically that, you know, the fact that you have powers that are untapped. They don't want you to, again, they do not want you to understand your importance. And they do. They understand your importance. They understand your power. They understand what you're fully capable of and the powers that you can command if you discipline yourself. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and stop ranting and talking about it and really explain to you what's going on using their documents. You see, I have a few new stories, not really stories, but a few new documents that kind of illustrate what I'm talking about. So with that being said, let's look into this one. It was declassified. It was declassified in 2000. In August 7th of 2000, it was approved for release. This is an article from, I think, Time Magazine, number 3, in 1969. And they basically talk about a magician walking into a laboratory. Now, it's not an actual magician. It's not somebody out there, you know, doing magic tricks and all kinds of crazy things like that. But what it is somebody that has these psychoenergetic abilities and are able to put them on display. The reason why I wanted to go over this specific story and what I have pulled up here for video watchers is the Project Grill Flame document. I don't have the actual unclassified story that I'm reading right here up on projection for you guys, up on the screen. But just bear with me. So it says that the magician walks into the laboratory. It says that, dear abstract, dear editors, I am a construction engineer, A. Raphaelian, and am writing you from the sunny state, Georgia. I live in Tbilisi and have now been listening for several years to various oral sources of stories about a certain A. Karatovlov, who somehow is successfully healing patients by the, quote, laying of hands. I also heard that the self-educated, quote, magician was investigated by various specialists, in particular, the inventors, Mr. and Mrs. Carillion, and that somehow the secret of his, quote, miracle-working hands has been divine. Is this not true? Couldn't you tell of this healer in greater detail? The mechanic, S. Carillion, was working in one of the Krasnodar hospitals. This is in Russia. Okay, so, again, really realize that when we're talking about this stuff, we'll get into America, too, later on, and what's going on here, but we need to look at how this is being talked about in other countries, how other people are aware of this type of phenomena, you see. So continuing on, it says that the mechanic, S. Carillion, was working in one of the Krasnodar hospitals in Russia. One evening, he was servicing a high-frequency currents generator and noticed that the discharge between his palm and the generator electrode was not all the same as that between his forearm and the same device. It says, was this accidental? It would be well to register, for example, photographs of this strange phenomena. But how? And I'm going to pull this up for video watchers right here so you can try to follow along. But it says, for example, but how? Under bright illumination, the discharge would simply become invisible. It was then that the inventor decided to do without a camera. And there was, on the table, lay an insulator, and as you see right here, it has a blank, I'm not sure what that is, a sheet, and on it there was an electrode consisting of a metal plate, a glass photographic plate on the electrode, having stepped onto a rubber sheet and thereby insulating himself from the floor, Carilion connected the second electrode to the back of his hand, the biological object, and pressed his palm against the photo emulsion. Quote, in case of emergency, the inventor called a medical student and then threw the switch and connected himself into a high-frequency circuit. A sharp jolt. The frightened student opens the circuit and the plate is developed. A fuzzy picture is obtained, but the silhouette of the hand is very clearly visible on it. And the white bones are traced out against the background of the fingers. However, this is not an X-ray, but a photograph of a biological object in an RF field current. So why are we talking about RF field currents? Why are we talking about different types of photographs? We're basically talking about how they are literally finding different ways to examine the human body. Okay, continuing on, it says the first foggy photograph of an unknown world were just as fuzzy as conventional photographs, which have been taken out of focus. Here, the role of focal distance is played by the discharge gap. Those 2 to 3 hundredths of a millimeter which separate the investigated object from the lighter sensitive plate. But how to produce such a small gap and how to maintain such accuracy? As Carilion performed a massive experiment together with his wife, there were hardly any contrivances they didn't resort to. They placed a thin cloth between the object and the photo plate. They obtained clear pictures, but with traces of the threads. The cloth was replaced by a metal foil. However, the material turned out to be stiff and non-compliant, and the micron gaps did not come out at all. And then the inventors made the electrode a water electrode. The backside of the photo emulsion was wetted with a wet piece of cotton and became current conducting. It is difficult to tell of all the investigations which Mr. and Mrs. Carilion carried out before they obtained clear photographs. 17 patents confirmed their leadership in this new field. Thus, a window was opened up to a hitherto unknown world. What is it that could be seen through it? One time, botanists asked the inventors to photograph two identical leaves from the same plant. The image of the electrical space of the green twins turned out to be completely different. Only then did the phytopathologists discover what the secret was. Not any of the leaves had been torn off the branch and contaminated with microorganisms, while the other had been torn off from a healthy branch. But this is what was curious. The infection was in no way manifested externally right up until the death of the six leaves. But photographing in a field of RF currents immediately revealed the physiology, quote, maladjustments that were hidden from the eyes. So I'm going to say that one more time and go over that. But photographing in a field of RF currents immediately revealed the physiological maladjustment that were hidden from the eyes. So basically, they were saying that they were able to see different things due to the electrical photograph that they were taking. In the same way, it was possible successfully to register the earliest stages of pathological processes in apples, tobacco, grapes, and not only in plants. Electrical photographs of sick human organs, for example, during spasms of blood vessels, look different than photographs of healthy organs. So I'm going to stop right there. And because I've been reading on, I feel like I need to explain what we're actually talking about. Things like acupuncture, things like energy work, Reiki, and basically doing all of these types of things, this really does look at what happens when we talk about the energetic nervous system. We're going to be talking about things such as your auric field, your I don't want to say your third eye, but again, your spiritual presence, more of your senses, your psychic emanation. What happens when we look at things outside of the different spectrums of light? We've talked about this before with the Thunder Energies Corporation's ITEs, the invisible terrestrial entities of the first and second kind, who are basically able to be seen in different spectrums of light. So what we're going to be doing and going over with this is just that. Looking at how in different spectrums of light humans can be observed. But continuing on, it says electrical photographs of sick human organs, for example spasms of blood vessels, look different than photographs of healthy organs. They are literally saying that they can see that the energy is different from a sick organ versus a healthy organ. And we'll get into some of that stuff later on. But it says the nervous activity of the subject also makes its imprint against the fiery panorama of live sparks. The author of these lines drank a glass of wine to toast the flowering of science. The Carilians, having connected me into the RF loop, immediately discovered this act according to the change topographically scheme of the discharge. The most ridiculous rumor circulated concerning the work of the Carilians. So far, no comprehensive monographs devoted to their discovery have been published. Thus, a hundredfold repeated rumors is stated that somehow the Krasnodar experimentalist has been able to photograph a mysterious luminescence, maybe even a sign of holiness, a halo that a person is supposed to admit. So they literally were able to, as I said before, photograph a mysterious luminescence, a mysterious light that is emitting outside of your person. And then somehow, late one autumn evening, because we're actually reading from the documents here, you're going to be hearing a lot of different paper shuffling. One late autumn evening, 3 years ago, late on an autumn evening, a man knocked on the door of the inventors, Mr. and Mrs. Carilion. His name was A. Kuravatov. I'm going to mess that up a few times. And he was from Sibali. He announced that some understandable force emanated from him, and he would like to discover its secret. It turned out that Kuravatov had discovered in himself the capacity to be a healer. He heals by the old benevolent method of laying on the hands. Now, before I continue on with that, laying on the hands, emanating energy, literally trying to heal one another. You'll have people that say, this is demonic. You'll have people that say, this is satanic. This is, again, and everything that we talk about in this entire episode, is just showing you what you can do by the power of your own mind. By controlling what is considered your chi, your chakra, your energy. You see, continuing on, it says, he heals by the old benevolent method of laying on hands. For example, a patient comes to him and complains of a pain in the loins. Kuravatov concentrates, goes into a trance, stretches out his hands, and approaches the patient. Another instant, and the patient fearfully flinches from the, quote, burn. It is literally as if a hot, dry compress had been applied to the loins. This unpleasant sensation does not go away after that for the whole night. Sometimes an invisible heating pad aids. Carilion connected Kuravatov to the RF tank circuit. By the way, this operation is completely painless. And placed his finger under a microscope. The guest looked into the eyepiece and was shaken. From the pores and channels of his skin, protuberances were fiercely billowing. Whole schools of amoeba were creeping from place to place, first merging together into one blazing bonfire and then splitting up into pieces. Kuravatov carefully took his finger out and looked at it. Nothing. Again, he put his finger under the eyepiece, but the picture had changed radically. Now orange, violet blue, stars were scintillating. Huh. Think about that. They're literally being able to document this guy trying to carry out these types of these experiments. It says, you're upset. This has changed the electrical state of your organs, and the skin is the kind of mirror that reflects the internal bioelectric processes, Carilion explained while looking into the microscope. Weeks of strange experiments began in which both the magician and the experimentalist worked himself with the subjects, which both the magician and the experimentalist himself were the subjects. Kuravatov put his hands quite close to Carilion's head and literally poured hot lead over him. However, he did not say anything and didn't look into his eyes. This means there cannot even be any talk of hypnosis. The heavy sensation did not leave Carilion all night, and if was as if his head was on fire. He was trying to think of where the energy could come from. After all, Kuravatov was not some kind of limiting generator, and even the guest himself acknowledged that while giving off energy, he did not feel fatigued. The next day, Carilion photographed fingers, his own and that of the magician, in the high-frequency field. One could clearly see the luminescence bent around the biological object separately. There was no doubt. Both fingers were charged with the electricity of the same sign. but what makes the touch of Kurbatov cause a sensation of the heat. This is just the point sensation. In transmitting heat, one expends energy. After all, sensation can be produced almost without energy by transmitting simply information. And what do the experiments say? Kurt Carillion checked the dielectric properties of the skin of Kurbatov's hand. This is the point. The resistance was 3 to 5 times higher than the usual value. Of course, the dry, rough skin of the hands of a person occupied with heavy physical labor may have such properties. But after all, the palms of the Tbilisi magician were pink, soft, just like a baby's. It is of interest as to how the guest is charged while being locked up in a bathroom before each seance. The experimentalist photographed the fingers of Kurbatov before his operation in the bathroom afterwards. On the first photograph, there was a conventional distribution of the potentials of a healthy person, while on the second, potential outcome had vanished, as if the electrical conductivity has been lost. The pattern of the protuberances had likewise been changed radically. A gold flame bubbled madly against a black background, as if it were breaking through an invisible barrier. The experimentalist assumed that in preparing for the procedure, Kurbatov rubbed his hands together with some substance, probably acerite, in order to increase the dielectric resistance of the skin. Quote, the mechanism by which the healing procedure of the magician operates appears to us to be the following. As Carillion said, the body of any person situated in the Earth's electrostatic field is charged negatively, since the skin of the fingers and the palm of the magician was, as it were, covered in a mutual dielectric glove, a potential of any sign may be induced on it. During the procedure, while healing hands are placed on the body or head of the patient, the electrical charges of the patient's body excite or polarize positive charges that are equal in magnitude but opposite in the sign on the glove. An electrical field is formed between the skin of Kurbatov's hand and the skin of the patient. This field has an intensity which increases as the spacing decreases. So basically he's saying as he gets closer to the patient, trying to heal them with his hands, the intensity of that charge grows. But as that person pulls away from them, they can feel the energy change. And even on top of that, imagine putting your hand away. Kurbatov puts his hand away. They can still feel that charge, as if it's got some kind of sensation on their body. Still, continuing on, it said that the electrons and ions situated in the air gap tend to move toward the photoelectrodes. The positive ones move towards the skin of the patient, Carillion, while the negative ones move towards Kurbatov's hand. The ion flux blows past and at the same time heats the sick organ and stimulates its recovery. In a word, the same thing occurs as an ionic shower. Dearsenylation and other similar methods of electrical healing, which are used extensively in modern medicine. This is what is assumed for the time being. Much is still ununderstood. It is far from clear as to whether or not the dielectric plays such an important role in healing procedures of the magician. After all, the healer, regardless of the apparent complete exposure, steadfastly insists on the purity of his seances. Carillion reportedly attempted to repeat the focus of Kurbatov, but alas, unsuccessfully. The action of one person on another at a distance via a field so far remains a puzzling phenomena of nature. Recently, professor of Leningrad University, P. Pulyev, demonstrated that our body generates and possibly perceives an electrical field. And concerning the fact that a person senses an electromagnetic field and an ordinary magnetic field has been known for a long time. I'm going to say that one more time. A professor of Leningrad University demonstrated that our body generates and possibly perceives an electrical field. Concerning the fact that a person senses an electromagnetic field and an ordinary magnetic field has been known for a long time. The question arises, does the magician change the information processes in the organism of the patient who feels the heat through the ether? In order to answer this question, answer this and other questions, further investigations are needed to be carried out at higher levels. So think about that. Really think about that. Everything that we kind of went over there. There's another part of that whole document that you guys can read. I'll put the links in the description bar below. There's a whole other part of that where in Japan, I think it's 1968, and I'll just give you guys a quick summary of this, and then we'll take a break and come back. In 1966, Dr. Uchida wrote a letter in the Japanese journal Radio, Television, and Electronics. He talked about how, again, over there in Japan, they are doing the same thing, laying of hands, working with acupuncture points. They call it Subo. And really looking at this type of stuff, really understanding how these people are trying to do these types of things, to me, is just so crazy. In 1963, the Bulletin of the Academy of Medical Sciences of the Korean People's Democratic Republic published a paper on the Kinrak system. A scientific research team headed by Professor Kim Bon Han discovered a previously unknown substance called Kinrak in human organs, a unified anatomo-histological system distinguished both from the nervous system and from the blood and lymph vessels. So they're literally discovering different parts of how the body communicates, using things like biophotons, using things like your photoelectrodes, looking at what happens when you emit certain types of frequencies and certain types of energies, the blockage that is there. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some more of this stuff. We're going to talk about things like Project Centerlane, Grill Flame, and Sunstreak, more of your other senses, and what this truly means for the human experience. I wanted to lead in with this to really show how this is a history. The CIA, the alphabet letter agencies, the Stanford Research Institute, the Institute of Noetic Science, even the Tavistock Institute, as you've heard us talk about here countless of times before, they are all aware that we have these types of abilities. And so their entire agenda is to disenfranchise us from the power that we have within inside of us. But like I said, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about this and more on the other side. You guys stay tuned. This is Freedom Faction over here on Factions of Freedom. I'll talk to you soon. And we are back. Going over documents. Going over PDFs. Going over the unclassifieds. Ugh, these are the real memes. To me, these are the real memes, man. I get so giddy looking at documents. It's like a, it's cool. It is cool to me to look at this type of stuff. These people are literally conducting tests in our history, really showing us and documenting in so many different ways how awesome we truly are. And then they say, oh, don't worry about it. You know, just take more selfies. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, get triggered by Donald Trump. No, don't worry about it. You know, don't pay attention to these types of things. Don't pay attention to yourself. Don't look within. The answers that you look for, they're out there in the world. That's sarcasm for people that don't know. Everything that you need is within inside of you. This is why conversation is so important. We need to discuss things. We need to talk. We need to connect. We need to get back to why we're really here. Technology, as you'll hear me go on in the next segment and possibly this one, technology is literally here to hijack this natural behavior that we have with inside of us. As crazy as it sounds, we have tried to really encapsulate this phenomena with the black boxes, with the Xbox, the cell phones, all of it. How it's just meant to absorb your essence in so many different ways. This is why they're trying to have us merge with technology, so they can finally put the capstone on our own freedom. And looking at things like this, Project Grill Flame, Project Center Lane, Project Sunstreak, really does explain the powers that people can have if they choose to have them. This is why they don't want us being smart. They don't want a nation of thinkers. They want a nation of workers. They want a nation of drones. They don't want somebody thinking and using their potential. Heaven forbid you don't want to be a slave. So let's get into this. This document that you guys see right here is, in fact, from the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency. And they have a brief overview of Project Sunstreak. Isn't that great? They have a brief overview. That's awesome. So for people that don't know, for our new listeners, one of the reasons why I'm doing this redo is because one of the first times I got censored is whenever I was going over Project Center Lane, their documents, and I was talking about how they have the Soviet R&D facility in Semipalatinsk and guerrilla training bases in Libya, and they cut me off live time. But here we are again talking about this, even though we still have censorship running amok. But what we will be going over right here is this 56-page document going over things like Project Sunstreak. And for people that want a quick lowdown of what's going on, you know, looking at these things, like I said, from the 60s to the 70s to the 80s and to where we are now, we have seen a gradual introduction of what I would consider parapsychology, what other people consider pseudoscience, and everything else. But looking at Project Sunstreak, these people, the CIA and the DIA, they are literally trying to discover things like this, like psychoenergetics, and they define it as the process by which an individual may psychically interact with objects, locations, organisms, or events. They define it as psychokinesis, physical actions performed by mental powers. ESP, telepathy, remote viewing, perceptions which cannot be explained by known sensory means. And what they mean by that, if you guys paid attention to the episode with KB Visions, where I talked about how with the nanoparticulates and all the other things that they're spraying, they could be having technology inside of us that communicates on a level that we're not aware of. I constantly am trying to look at how AI, technology, the robots, the singularity, how all of this stuff is trying to digitize destiny. So again, we're looking at the connection between technology and our extrasensory capabilities. And I'll be going into this later on with an article where we talk about how Sony is developing ESP-based technologies. I know that sounds crazy, but then you look at people like Elon Musk who are developing the Neuralink, things to, again, integrate us with technology. But getting back here to psychoenergetics, look at this. really look at this. Since the 1970s, the Department of Defense has been involved in examining the potential use of psychoenergetics. Experiments using remote viewing as an intelligence gathering tool conducted by two laser physicists, Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ, at the Stanford Research Institute. They proved successful. We've talked about Russell Targ over here on the show as well. He actually has a talk on TED where he talks about this type of stuff. And again, you know, they define remote viewing as the acquisition and description by mental means of information blocked from ordinary perception by distance, shielding, or time. So what we're talking about, in essence, are things like just that, remote viewing, out-of-body experiences, astral projection, literally being able to put yourself out of yourself and observe the world that is going on. When we're looking at this, again, we have to understand how influential we really can be, how powerful we can be. You know, as I mentioned in the previous segment with the Carilion family and how they try to access the same kind of focus that Kurvatov had, but they were unsuccessful. That doesn't mean that just because they were unsuccessful, everybody else will not be successful. When we actually take the time to devote it to ourselves, discipline ourselves, and really understand what's going on, we can have a lot of success. Like, I wholeheartedly believe that we all have this capability, but because we have been systematically disenfranchised from our power, we have not practiced these abilities. There's nothing in society that fosters this kind of mindset, fosters this kind of behavior. We do not, we truly do not get the benefits of it. Like a muscle, we're not working this muscle out, and so it's withering away. You see? So to me, that's crazy. But continuing on, you know, again, this is documents from the CIA and the DIA. They say that using several apparently gifted psychic subjects, the most notable of whom were Pat Price and Ingo Swann, SRI scientists conducted several CIA-sponsored remote viewing tests. Of course. Psychic impressions, which included much detailed, accurate information, some of which was previously unreported, was still carried out. And you guys see right here, they have this all blacked out, but it says these psychic impressions were confirmed by human and national technical sources. Right there. Boom. You'll see that they gained information about a Soviet R&D facility in Semipolitansk. So yes, this is where I got cut off last time. So what I'm going to do now for you guys is go over this Project Centerlane, because what we're doing right here is looking at, what is this? Project Sunstreak. And this was in the 70s. Now, if we want to correlate this type of information, let's look at this right here, the other document. Nope, the other one, there you go. Project Centerlane. This is in 1972. Since 1972, the U.S. government, including the Department of Defense, has been involved in examining potential uses of psychoenergetics. So let's start from the beginning. It says, I am Lieutenant Colonel Busby, project manager for INSCOM Project Centerlane. I would like to introduce you to my operations officer, Fred Atwater. The purpose of this briefing is to orient you in a unique intelligence collection project that uses the Centerlane technique. Prior to submitting our training and applications procedure for your review and action, I will discuss the history of the program, training operations, and our plans for the future. The overall classification of the briefing is secret, Centerlane Level 4. Centerlane is registered Department of the Army Special Access Program. That status and the sensitivity of the Centerlane mission require us to adhere to strict security procedures. As part of those procedures, we ask all personnel who receive a Centerlane briefing to complete a security briefing certificate that acknowledges an acceptance of the sensitivity of Centerlane information. Sir, the ENDS-COM Centerland project involves the use of psychoenergetics for intelligence purposes. Psychoenergetics are the processes by which an individual may psychically interact with objects, locations, organisms, or event. This includes such disciplines as psychokinesis, remote viewing, and remote communications. So literally being able to control things with your mind, to put yourself outside of your body and to observe more of the real world, the hyper-real world, and to communicate on distances that people can't really understand. That's awesome. It says right here, going on, it said, and this was released in 2004, it says, our mission is depicted on this chart to conduct intelligence collection and counterintelligence operations utilizing all psychoenergetic processes applicable. Train selected personnel in state-of-the-art psychoenergetic intelligence collection and counterintelligence techniques. Expand operational capabilities and training beyond the confines of information collection into the fields of psychoenergetic communication and psychokinesis. In order to understand and appreciate Centerland activities, it is necessary to discuss our history. And this is where we come back to the start. Since 1972, the U.S. government, including the Department of Defense, has been involved in examining potential uses of psychoenergetics. In the early 1970s, serious consideration for psychoenergetics, primarily in the form of remote viewing as an intelligence-gathering tool, received great impetus from that which can only be described as an astounding successes in remote viewing, research by two laser physicists at the SRI International. The Stanford Research Institute International. So I'm going to pause it right there and carry on talking about something. We're talking again about how these people are using the human experience not only for military purposes, for intelligence purposes, and they're weaponizing it. They are literally telling you, yes, this is successful. We are able to do this. Psychokinesis is real. You can affect the real world with your mind. We need information, so we need to weaponize it. So what I'm going to do for you guys is I'm going to let the man Russell Targ talk about it himself. This is one of the deleted TED Talks, one of the banned TED Talks about psychic abilities. And I'm only going to briefly go over it. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I wanted to just get it from himself about what's going on and about this type of research, why it's important, and how we can access different parts, again, of the human experience by these types of things. So here we have Russell Targ at TED talking about this and more. Let's take a listen.
Well, I'm very happy to be here. My name is Russell Targ, and I'm a physicist. And it's my great pleasure to tell you about the remarkable work we did at Stanford Research Institute investigating psychic abilities. We did that for the CIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, NASA, and many, many other intelligence agencies, part of the U.S. government intelligence system. I got into all this as a childhood magician, standing on the stage in New York doing mental magic. And I had the experience from time to time of having a direct perception of something in the life stream of the person whose mind I was pretending to read or whose fortune I was pretending to tell. So I was not a real psychic. I was just a kid doing magic. But I've now talked to people like Kreskin and Melbourne Christopher, and they said, oh yes, every professional magician knows that from time to time you're given some material and you can then supplement your magic trick with whatever ESP comes to you. And there are many magicians who do that, as we know. But I was not doing magic for the CIA. As we know, the CIA is not easily amused, and we were trying to do the real thing for them. The work we did at SRI involved things like finding a downed Russian airplane in North Africa with code books on it, locating a kidnapped American general in northern Italy, looking into a Soviet weapons factory in Soviet Siberia, describing the construction of a huge Soviet submarine in northern Russia, and we even looked at on a Chinese atomic bomb test 3 days before it was scheduled to go off and described correctly that it was going to fail. So we did quite a lot of useful things for the government during our 23-year program. The ability we're talking about is a natural psychic ability that we all have, in spite of what you may have heard to the contrary. People can quiet their mind and describe and experience what's happening in a distant place or in the future. And this has been talked about for thousands of years. Buddhists have a vast lore about what this is and how to do it and why it's desirable. And I'll try and talk about that later. The ability allows you to quiet your mind and describe and experience what's happening in the future. And you can do that independent of the distance. The most interesting thing that we found as physicists is that it's no harder to describe what's happening in Soviet Siberia, 6,000 miles away, than it is for you to describe the funny object I have in my pocket. 6,000 miles away does not decrease the accuracy or the reliability as compared with something nearby. Looking into the distance is no harder than looking at a contemporaneous event. And that's why this is called a non-local perception. Not quantum mechanical particularly. It pertains to the fact that we live in a non-local space-time described as scientifically most recently by Schrodinger in the 1920s and then proved in the 1970s and 1980s. So the idea of non-local connections is not New Age. This is accepted in the physical community. The hottest topic in modern physics is exploring non-locality. It was described originally by the Buddhists 2,000 years ago, but modern physics has finally caught up. The leaders of the program that we had at SRI are all physicists. The physicists are taking over what used to be called parapsychology. The three leaders of the program were myself and Ed and Hal Puthoff, who are both laser physicists, and Ed May, who is a nuclear physicist. And we were eager that our scientific friends would not think that we'd gone off the rails into ESP research, so we made sure that we published everything we did, all of our experiments, in the world's most prestigious journals, where we would normally publish our science. So we published our work in the Proceedings of the Institute of Electrical Engineers, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, the American Institute of Physics, and Nature Magazine. So this is not, I just want to emphasize that at the time we were doing this work, this was mainstream, written up in the New York Times, published in the premier journals in the world. And I want to give you an idea of where I was when this all began. In the 1960s, I was a hardcore laser guy. And here I'm standing in front of a 1,000-watt carbon dioxide laser at my most...
Thank you, Russell. I think that'll be all. And that's kind of what I wanted to go over with you guys, is to really look at that, the history of how this is understood. As you heard Russell talk about, you know, the Buddhists have a 2,000-year-old philosophy where we're looking at this type of information. Understanding that looking into the distance, you know, it could be considered the ether, what they consider non-local space-time. Even Nikola Tesla talked about this. Whatever the aether is, the ether, is because it's space. That's what space is. Not, you know, 7 billion light years off. Is what is in that space that is here with us that we can't really understand. Some people call it antimatter. Some people call it dark matter. This is why I also look at stuff concerning CERN and what they're doing as far as our natural human frequency to the Schumann resonance, to the Earth's frequency, and the things of this nature. So what I really wanted to point out with that is how they're studying this type of phenomena. This is something that's real. It's been documented. It's been carried on, and it's expanded all throughout the years. You know, and you guys can go look that up. That was Russell Targ at the TED conference. That was one of the actual banned discussions that was there. But this is in our past. This is what's going on, or this is what happened. I have this 56-page document right here, where they're literally giving a brief overview of it. Like it's crazy. They say that some of the grill flame players were the Secretary of the Army General Counsel, Assistant Surgeon General for Medical R&D, the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, the NSA, the CIA, the Navy, and whatever else they have blacked out here that I can't see. They also said that they have roles and all kinds of other things. It's crazy because they really saw the benefits of this type of research. They really saw what would happen if people started getting involved with this. They started throwing money behind it. They really started getting involved. Like I said, this was in the 70s. So let's kind of fast forward, if we can, into Grill Flame. Because that was Sunstreak. That was the foundation. Let's look at right here. Project Grill Flame is an Army and DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, jointly financed effort to study novel intelligence collection techniques. The fiscal year 1982 justification material states that Grill Flame studies will help to identify the capabilities and the vulnerabilities associated with paranormal phenomena having military applications. So in this one, in this little sheet, they basically give you the company line on how this is just, I don't want to say fluff, but you know, they're just giving you the standard responses. Like right here, the first question is, can you provide a description of Project Grill Flame to include the objectives of the project and exactly what paranormal phenomena DIA and the Army are studying? The answer is, Grill Flame is a planned 3-year joint program in which is in its first year, fiscal year 81, between DIA and the Army to investigate in detail certain paranormal phenomena such as remote viewing and psychokinesis that have potential military applications. Emphasis this year has been on evaluating application potential and limitations of remote viewing, the ability of individuals to mentally collect data at a distance, phenomena, and to evaluate the significance of foreign work, particularly as it may pose a threat to the United States. So as they said, it was the Russians, it was the Soviets, it was them that forced America, the Army, the U.S. Army, and the DIA, the DOD, and everybody else that's involved, the CIA, to do these types of things. It was because of the advances of the war that they wanted to learn more of the human experience. So before we actually let Russell Targ speak, I talked briefly about things like MKUltra, mind control. And again, messing with the mind. Your brain is a powerful, powerful tool. And when you really understand that it is a interpreter for the infinity, it really does get kind of crazy trying to explain it all. So as Russell Targ talked about, you know, with the Buddhist philosophy and looking in a non-local space, right? What we're talking about is how everything is existing simultaneously. The senses that we normally think we do need, we don't necessarily need. And everything that's going on can be hijacked. Again, looking at things like MKUltra, how they are using not only pharmaceuticals, but frequencies to manipulate people, using trauma-based mind control to basically splinter off people's brains and personalities and to basically force them into having multiple personalities. If they're able to do this in the past, let's fast forward to what's going on now. Again, looking at the past, if they're able to understand that we operate in these types of frequencies, again, fast forward to now. Why is 5G so important? Why is understanding frequencies, harmonics, densities, cymatics, and things of this nature, why is that so important? Because we as humans operate on different frequencies. We operate all over the place. You see, one of the things I wanted to, if I could, try to pull up for you guys is the Institute of Noetic Sciences and how they talked about things like the rainbow body with Father Francis Tissot. Basically, Monsignor Tissot discusses the implications of the Institute on Noetic Sciences' sponsored research project investigating a specific case of Tibetan Buddhists who practice the rainbow body, the ostensible dematerialization of the physical body after death. Let's see if we can take a listen.
You're listening to a program created at IONS, the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Thank you for supporting our research in consciousness and its practical applications for education, healthcare, and and a more sustainable world.
Let's see if we can fast forward through.
Visit us.
My whole thinking on the rainbow body was really challenged by watching the show where Darwin has to present his views to a scientific public. And, you know, if you've seen the program, you see how well they do it. They dramatize it and so on. And show how Darwin is trying to talk about evolution by natural selection. He goes before all of these scientists and clergymen, theologians, and so forth. And people are very, very, very distressed. You know, what he's saying really shatters their paradigms completely. And you know, to us today, it seems strange to talk about the evolution of our biological selves, you know, in terms of, you know, this being debasing somehow that our biological selves are in relationship to the rest of life, living things. When we think about plants and animals and whales and seals and we look out on our wonderful coast and the redwoods and everything else, I think many of us are thrilled to know that there's a kinship there, that the DNA that's wrapped up in the nuclei of our cells, and don't forget there's a little bit in our mitochondria too that we get from mom, right? There's something very, very powerful here in our connectedness to all of life. And it's given us a new reason to be reverent toward life, right? And yet, for the 19th century, following upon many, many centuries of thinking that, you know, if you read the early fathers of the church, when they object to the doctrine of reincarnation, they will say, why, this means you could be born as an animal. You know, you could come back as maybe even a plant or a tree or something like that. And that would be just horrifying, degrading, debasing. Whereas we might see that connectedness in very different terms, and we have Darwin to thank for it. So that was a tremendous paradigm-smashing moment in the history of Western thought, and we continue to live it as a paradigm-smashing and renewing event. I guess it was in the early 1980s, I was asked to write an essay on the influence of Teilhard de Chardin on my own thought. And we put these essays together in a little volume called The Spirit of the Earth, a Teilhard Centennial Celebration that Seabury Press published Ed and Jerome Berlinski edited back in those days. And, you know, those essays were magnificent. How many different people had been impacted by not only the theory of evolution by natural selection and subsequent insights based on genetic discoveries, mutations, mutagenesis. You know that when I was a teenager, I read every article on mutagenesis, the induction by chemical means of mutations in the genetic material from 1880 to, well, 1965, 66. So this is just very, very important to me, and I did some experiments with that myself through my first couple of college years. I was a genetic engineer, a teenage genetic engineer. Pretty dangerous stuff. But anyway, this kind of thing fascinated me. But what we're talking about tonight, in some ways, is even more paradigm smashing. Okay? I mean, everyone, I think, is at peace now with being a cousin to the redwoods. But to say that at the end of someone's life, their body might dematerialize into the energy form of light is asking people to believe something that we're not prepared to hear. So let's think about this together in a creative way. The fact is that our research on the resurrection and the rainbow body is not just an exercise in comparative religion, where we would be descriptive, historical, typological, literary, phenomenological, and just leave it at that. Publish our little book and go home, you know, and we might even make $50 or $60 worth of royalties after the first year of sales, right? And this is not 100,000 copy stuff, right? Rather, if what we are saying is at all true and momentously duplicable in some reliable way, then we will have to revise our entire view of the human species, its meaning, purpose, and psychosomatic potentialities in this universe. It takes us almost dancing into the terrain already marked out for us in Michael Murphy's massive guidebook, The Future of the Body. I hope you've seen that book. It is interesting that speaking candidly of these implications with trusted friends and even parishioners, that it has not elicited the cries of alarm and dismay that I thought it might, I once wrote to Brother David early on in this project, I said, you know we're going to get into a huge amount of trouble for this, Brother David. He seemed not to be bothered by it, but we canons, you know, we have to be careful. We canons with one end, by the way. Okay. Okay. The possibility that other human beings besides Jesus might have manifested something like the resurrection in the form of a light body consuming all or most of the material remains after death seems rather to be a confirmation of faith convictions to many of my friends rather than a threat to them. Last evening I was in New York, as I said, participating in that prayer service of healing and remembrance. After the event in which I had read a poem in part inspired by my research, a man came up to me full of enthusiasm for our topic that evening. He said, "The rainbow body, the body of light, and the resurrection are all interrelated and perhaps the same thing, based on the same teachings and practices, and they are of immediate importance to every human being who is spiritually committed and aware of the fact of death."
And we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about this and more, and why it's so important to understand things like the rainbow body, like human emanations, the Carillion photography, and everything else. You know, why we are really so powerful, and how they took the time, as I said before at the start of the show, to systematically disenfranchise us from our power. But like I said, we're going to be talking about this and more on the other side. You guys stay tuned. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
And we are back. And the reason why I only give you guys teasers of everything else that's going on with the show is so you go out there and you go do your own research, man. I put this stuff out there. I try to condense it all to make it sound normal, logical, and real, so you understand what's going on. You got to go do the due diligence yourself. You got to go out there and go do the research. That's why I put the links in the description bar so you guys go and find it. That's why the website has the research tab so you can understand it. Again, we have to understand our experience. The personal thought is, you know, why did they try to keep this from us? Because just like the Second Amendment, a slave is someone that's unarmed. Someone that has a gun can defend themselves, can protect themselves. And it's not even about just the gun itself. It's about the act of self-defense. They say knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. If you had knowledge of this, would you be trying to buy into the fear-based propaganda? If you had knowledge of this, you would probably be trying to take place in the paradigm shift, really understanding things like the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, and all the levels that are up there. Really understanding our potential. If you had this kind of information, you would know more, therefore you would do more. And this is why they try to censor this information. This is why they try to keep it hidden from you, to keep you in a state of subservience, to keep you in a passive, servile mindset, you see. So we're talking about things like the rainbow body. We're talking about things like evolution, revising the human potential, as the father said. And this is, to me, this is really fascinating stuff. You know, like Father Francis said, you know, the future of the body, the human potential, evolution, what happens, why we're transcending and awakening into something greater. And I've talked about this time and time again. I believe that the transhuman movement is simply here to hijack these types of things. We are going through this paradigm shift. Some people call it the Age of Aquarius. Other people call it the Kali Yuga. Other people see it as the end of the world. The Mayans talked about it. That was the end of 2012. We're in a different age now. Things are different. The energy is different. The mindset is different. What is required is different. And as I said before, if you had knowledge of this, you would literally put your life towards trying to do more of this type of work, the spiritual type of work, not going to work 9 to 5 to kill yourself slowly, really looking within, you see. So as I said before, and as you guys were kind of reading as Father Francis was talking, let's look into this, how telepathy and psychic abilities are explained with the science of bioelectricity and electromagnetism. All the time, this is why we're talking about things like Gwyn Towers, cell phone towers, 5G, everything else that's going on, because they're trying to hijack the natural human frequency, our auric field, and the ways that we interact with the ether. Okay, so continuing on, this is from Waking Times. It's back in 2017. This is by Dustin Deschamps. It says the interactions between electrically dynamic systems provide a basis to understand so-called telepathic contact between living things are bioelectrical in nature. Of note, Ben Davidson of Suspicious Observers recently produced a rather heady scientific video about the magnetic connections disrupting stable electric currents or circuits, causing the two or more systems to rebalance themselves in a rather reactive way. In essence, electrical circuits are stabilized flows of electricity that are enshrouded by a magnetic field. Plasma currents, which are flows of electricity that are guided by magnetic fields, are disrupted when the fields interact, causing a rapid reorientation of the flow of electricity and information contained therein, which in turn causes a restabilization. The resulting effect is that the two fields collide, producing a new field that is informed by the preceding fields. This is very interesting when one considers that life is also a type of plasma or flow of electricity producing strong magnetic fields. In humans, this field is produced by the heart and informed by the mind and body. So one of the things that they pointed out right there that I think is really crucial is how this field is interpreted by the heart. This is the heart-mind-body connection. Again, looking at the heart field. The heart field, your aura. Like, it is crazy. Really trying to, you know, break this down. I don't understand how people don't see it and really understand how this works. About 4 years ago, the HeartMath Institute put up a video on how the heart has intuitive intelligence and how it's basically able to interact with people in a different capacity. Like, the, to me, studying these types of sciences and this type of spirituality, this is the key to the future. Not trying to have sustainable technologies, not trying to have, you know, renewable energy and things like this, really understanding the human orientation that we have here on this planet. That's how we live in better harmony with the earth. We're going against everything that is natural. We are living in a crazy, unnatural time. It's wild. But like I said, let's look into this article real quick with the time that we have, where Sony and other corporations have been quietly researching and developing technology based on ESP. So everything I just told you about Russell Targ, the Stanford Research Institute, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the CIA, the DOD, everybody. And now corporations are quietly researching and developing this type of technology. As I said again, communicating on levels that we are entirely unaware. Could you imagine being able to unlock this actual ability, but the only way you're able to unlock it is with your PS4? Like, if your PS4 turned on, they'll probably call it like the PS Infinity, you know, in the future, but imagine having to turn on your PlayStation. And, you know, it has its own heater, it has its own fan, it's got its own Wi-Fi connection, Bluetooth connection. But now, it has an electromagnetic connection, or an electromagnetic emitter, that somehow activates a part of your brain that allows for you to communicate with your PS Infinity on levels that you're unaware. This is the dangers of 5G. Like, really, really get this. Your thoughts will not be private. You will be controlling things with your thoughts, which also means that your thoughts can be controlled and manipulated. That's some scary stuff. So let me look at this. This is put up, it's not, today is March 8th, 2018, but this was put up back in 2017. It says that Sony and other corporations have been quietly researching and developing technology based on ESP. It says, quote, "We don't know how to explain it, but we weren't so much interested in explaining it as determining whether there was any practical use to it." The quote above comes from Major General Edmund R. Thompson, Army Assistant Chief of Staff for Intelligence from 1977 to 1981. So this guy, Major General Edmund Thompson, this guy knows what's up. Talking about documents, he was referring to the investigation of psychic phenomena, otherwise known as PSI, or PSI. PSI includes the study of intuition, mind-body connection, psychokinesis, telepathy, precognition, clairaudience, remote viewing, and much more. Although hundreds of peer-reviewed studies have produced statistically significant results in this realm over the decade, PSI is still greeted with unwarranted skepticism and belief. Quote, "The discovery of truth is presented more effectively not by the false appearance of things present and which mislead into error, not directly by weakness or of the reasoning power, but by preconceived opinion, by prejudice." And this was said by Arthur Schopenhauer, who is a German philosopher. The 1995 declassification of the U.S. government's Stargate program, which studied remote viewing, the ability of a person to describe a remote geographical location up to several hundred thousand kilometers from their actual physical location, proved their ongoing interest in the subject. This program lasted more than two decades and was used multiple times successfully to collect intelligence from various locations. They also studied precognition. Physicist and author Russell Targ, who pioneered the development of the laser and laser applications, also co-founded this program in conjunction with the Stanford Research Institute. And that's what we talked about before that you guys actually heard him talk about. But I'm going to scroll down here on the article. It says, and this is what Einstein called spooky action at a distance. It says, according to Dr. Dean Radin, chief scientist of the Institute for Noetic Scientists, which was founded by Apollo 14 astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell, quote, "Quiet research programs examining the and other exotic technological possibilities have been underway for several years in academic and industrial laboratories, i.e., the military-industrial complex. He shares this information in one of his books, The Conscious Universe, from which I obtain the quotes and information below. It's an extremely fascinating read, and this article doesn't do it any justice, so please check it out if you're interested in these types of phenomena. Action at a distance, or the ability of mind to influence matter, is very real and has tremendous applications. In his book, Radin cites a story that appeared in the December 10th, 1995 issue of the South China Morning Post, the same year the U.S. government declassified the Stargate program mentioned above. It says, Sony, the corporation which revolutionized the world of audio and electronics, has acknowledged it is conducting research into alternative medicine, spoon bending, X-ray vision, telepathy, and other forms of extrasensory perception, ESP. The Institute of Wisdom was founded in 1989 at the instigation of Sony's founder. The company believes it has proved the existence of ESP and is already developing a diagnostic machine based on the principles of the Oriental medicine. A subdivision of the Institute, Extrasensory Perception Excitation Research, has worked with more than 100 possessors of ESP. In one test, subjects were presented with two black plastic containers, one of them containing platinum and the other one was empty. Psychic individuals were able to see the platinum 7 times out of 10. Yoshira Sako, a former specialist of artificial intelligence who heads the four-man research team, believes commercial applications could apply to his research. Quote, "We haven't come up with such great results so far," he said, "but if eventually discover the key energy is based on a kind of information transmission, it would lead to a complete energy revolution. If we can understand the mechanisms of telepathy, it would totally transform communication methods. This was more than a decade ago, and with all this research being locked up in a special access program, or otherwise hidden, how are we ever going to have any transparency?" Radin makes this point in his book and highlights how corporations are the same way, reluctant to publicize their interest and findings. But he does provide two more examples, Bell Laboratories and Contel Technology Center. At Bell Labs in the 1980s, I explored mind-matter interaction effects to see whether certain electronic circuits might be susceptible to psi influence. Some aspects of this research achieved the Bell Labs imprimatur. At Contel in the early 1990s, I began to experiment with commercially available off-the-shelf electronics to see if ordinary components were susceptible to psi influences. This was an important first step towards building psi-based devices, because unless scientists were able to actually demonstrate proof of the principle with existing hardware and software, they will have no hope in obtaining funding to create speculative, custom-made microelectronics from scratch. He then goes on to say, and share his experiment developing, or his experience developing a random key for a highly secure data encryption method where he used a random number generator on a single clip. I conducted 2 psi experiments using this chip, and both were successful in demonstrating mind-matter interaction influences precisely where I had predicted they would appear. A prototype was then built, approved, and tested. The test consisted of 10 volunteers who were asked to mentally influence the random system in strictly prescribed ways, and eventually a patent disclosure was prepared. Unfortunately, immediately after we complete the prototyping tests, GTE Corporation merged with Contel, and the disruption of the merger halted our efforts of this project. So basically what they're talking about, again, is how they are using what we would consider advanced technology to conduct these type of psychical experiments. This is some very real stuff. You have Sony literally developing technology based on ESP because they're aware that this is a very, very real phenomena. But on top of that, let's go even farther down the rabbit hole. Let's look at this. How the U.S. Marines have a manual on extrasensory perception. Now, I wasn't able to get my hands on the manual or that document itself. But this article from Mysterious Universe really goes over it simply. And we've talked about this time and time again. Things like Russian super soldiers, the super soldier program, genetically modifying people, clones, prosthetics. They use the military to deploy and activate and develop, research and develop all these different types of things. So while we've learned that these types of things are very real, people have these capabilities, they are weaponizing it with the military. So as we've seen throughout the entirety of the show, the military keeps popping up. Yes, these things are real, but the military wants to use it. So continuing on, this article is from 2017. And July 6th, 2017, it's by Brett Tingley of Mysterious Universe. It says that the U.S. Marines manual on extrasensory perception is revealed. The nature of warfare is changing. Thanks to the digital revolution, soldiers can now carry with them a wide array of technological capabilities which would once appeared as magic to the opposing forces. On top of that, militaries around the world are exploring ways to augment soldiers' biology through technology, making the cyborg warriors from Universal Soldier seem closer than ever to reality. It's not only gizmos and gadgets which give soldiers an advantage on the battlefield. However, a United States Marine Corps manual recently leaked to the press shows the U.S. Armed Forces have been experimenting with forms of ESP, extrasensory perception. Seems too weird to be true. Well, in a way, it is. And what you guys see right here is George Clooney and the movie where they stare at goats. But this was basically their way of disclosing that these types of things are happening. The Daily Beast reports that the United States Office of Naval Research published what it calls a sense-making training manual that seeks to train soldiers how to use their own powers of perception and intuition as some kind of sixth sense. The Daily Beast obtained the 23-page manual printed in 2014 through a Freedom of Information Act. Research psychologist and consultant Gary Klein, who helped develop the manual, told the Daily Beast that while many might jump at the chance to proclaim that the military is training soldiers how to bend spoons with their minds or the like, the reality is much more benign. I was worried about how this could be viewed in a sensational way with Spidey sense or something that sounds like ESP or something paranormal. That's not what the military is interested in. They're interested in developing expertise at the core part of expertise in tests, knowledge, and the ability to make sense of situations. Due to the stigmas associated with alleged heightened mental abilities, the Office of Naval Research no longer uses the term extrasensory perception, opting instead for sense-making. The manual is in reality more of a form of pop psychology involving mindfulness, visualization, and awareness of one's surroundings. The exercises in the manual are meant to help soldiers trust their natural instincts and visualize the motivations for the behavior of both their peers and adversaries. The manual states that the Marine practicing these sense-making techniques can, through empathy, intuit relationships and dynamics in the community and environment in which he's operating. Not exactly Spidey senses. While the headlines proclaim this manual to be proof of a shadowy paranormal research are a bit overblown, several other sets of declassified documents recently have shown that the U.S. Armed Forces and intelligence agencies are no strangers to the paranormal and unexplained. The CIA in particular has spent decades researching telepathic distance viewing and conducted studies on some of the world's most infamous mentalists like Yuri Geller. Who knows what kind of research and experiments never saw the light of day? Sure, a few interesting FOIA requests here and there are one thing, but what about the stuff they don't keep records on? We'll likely never know just how deep the military and intelligence community rabbit hole goes. And that's why we do these types of things, is so we really get this on record, what's going on, that you have them, while they try to tell you that they're not doing it, on the surface level, we know they're doing it. We know they're doing it. they try to make it seem like it's a joke. It's okay. We really do understand what this all means in a deeper level. The understanding of it is that the fact that we are capable of so much more. The fact that we as humans don't have the simple senses that they tell us. They say through empathy, we'll be able to interpret things and understand things more. Well, as Russell Targ talked about, you're tapping into basically the ether. You're tapping into that non-local space. You're tapping into what is always around you. What they try to dim us down with. To where we can't really understand what's happening around us. You see? I want to pull up something for you guys where we talk about our senses, where we talk about what makes us human. Not just the spiritual factor, because, you know, these are all still things that pertain to what's going on to us right now, to us in the future, why they're manipulating things, why they want to try to hijack our senses. And everything else. But right here, let's see if I can pull this up for you guys. This is a This is a quick diagram, right, that you see right here, where it has the 12 senses, which actually corresponds with what it looks like to be the 12 zodiac signs. You have touch, you have life, you have movement, you have equilibrium, smell, taste, vision, warmth, hearing, speech, thinking, and ego. All of these things define the human experience. You know, you have touch, which is within you. You have your life, which is within you. Your movement, which is within your balance or your equilibrium, as they say, which is also within you. These are all things inside of you that you can, that you have control over. Now, your smell, taste, sight, and things like that, that's outside of you. These are all different types of senses, abilities that we can master. That's why they tell you, you need to master yourself before you do anything else. Right there, let's look at this. We have looked at, and this is from Dialectics, and they say that we have looked at the 12 senses and viewed in a sensational way with Spidey sense or something that sounds like ESP or something paranormal. That's not what the military is interested in. They're interested in developing expertise at the core part of expertise in tests, knowledge, and the ability to make sense of situations. Due to the stigmas associated with alleged heightened mental abilities, the Office of Naval Research no longer uses the term extrasensory perception, opting instead for sense-making. The manual is in reality more of a form of pop psychology involving mindfulness, visualization, and awareness of one's surroundings. The exercises in the manual are meant to help soldiers trust their natural instincts and visualize the motivations for the behavior of both their peers and adversaries. The manual states that the Marine practicing these sense-making techniques can, through empathy, intuit relationships and dynamics in the community and environment in which he's operating, not exactly Spidey senses. While the headlines proclaim this manual to be proof of a shadowy paranormal research are a bit overblown, several other sets of declassified documents recently have shown that the U.S. Armed Forces and intelligence agencies are no strangers to the paranormal and unexplained. The CIA in particular has spent decades researching telepathic distance viewing and conducted studies on some of the world's most infamous mentalists like Uri Geller. Who knows what kind of research and experiments never saw the light of day? Sure, a few interesting FOIA requests here and there are one thing, but what about the stuff they don't keep records on? We'll likely never know just how deep the military and intelligence community rabbit hole goes. And that's why we do these types of things, is so we really get this on record, what's going on, that you have them, while they try to tell you that they're not doing it on the surface level, we know they're doing it. We know they're doing it. they try to make it seem like it's a joke. It's okay. We really do understand what this all means in a deeper level. The understanding of it is that the fact that we are capable of so much more, the fact that we as humans don't have this, the simple senses that they tell us. They say through empathy we'll be able to interpret things and understand things more. Well, as Russell Targ talked about, you're tapping into basically the, you're tapping into the ether. You're tapping into that non-local space. You're tapping into what is always around you. What is, what they try to hide, what they try to dim us down with, to where we can't really understand what's happening around us. You see, there's a, I want to pull up something for you guys where we talk about our senses, where we talk about what makes us human, not just the spiritual factor, because, you know, these are all still things that pertain to what's going on to us right now, to us in the future, why they're manipulating things, why they want to try to hijack our senses and everything else. But right here, let's see if I can pull this up for you guys. This is a quick diagram, right, that you see right here, where it has the 12 senses, which actually corresponds with what it looks like to be the 12 zodiac signs. You have touch, you have life, you have movement, you have equilibrium, smell, taste, vision, warmth, hearing, speech, thinking, and ego. All of these things define the human experience. You know, you have touch, which is within you. You have your life, which is within you. Your movement, which is within. Your balance, or your equilibrium, as they say, which is also within you. These are all things inside of you that you can, that you have control over. Now, your smell, taste, sight, and things like that, that's outside of you. These are all different types of senses, abilities, that we can master. That's why they tell you, you need to master yourself before you do anything else. Right there, let's look at this. We have looked at, and this is from Dialectics, and they say that we have looked at the 12 senses, and strange. They have looked at the 12 senses and been able to understand the number of things that we are affected by. The broadcast that you're actually hearing right now, it was supposed to go on for at least a few more minutes, really crystallizing the fact that we are living in such a multidimensional reality that it's hard to define. And things like Project Grill Flame, things like Project Center Lane, and everything else that we find ourselves dealing with are examples of this larger reality that we are a part of. You know, people don't understand the blessings of the times that we are in and the abilities that we are given to discern these types of things. And this is why at every single turn, you see them not only try to mess with the broadcast, mess with the content, mess with what we're doing, and try to stop us. It's because we're trying to connect to this deeper part of us, to really look within. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the psychoenergetic potential of humanity. However, that's all I really have for you guys. I know I kind of went over a lot, and if this broadcast didn't have as many problems as it typically seems to have every single time we try to cover these types of topics, we would be able to explain the deeper world that we find ourselves living in. I try to put all the different types of information and clues together to try to sound legible. But when looking at this type of stuff, it's hard to describe not only the ether, the space in between spaces, as some people call it, the upside down, the ether, everything that we see ourselves really trying to understand, and so much more. For me, you know, it really truly is an honor to look at this type of stuff and try to break it down. It just sucks that sometimes the equipment breaks down and that there are people who try to stop this information from getting out. Again, I would like to say thank you guys for paying attention to what we're doing, really, really understanding not only the times that we're in, but the capabilities that we have. I really can't say that enough. This is part of the understanding, the fight for humanity. It's more than free speech. It's more than everything else that they try to play us on, play on the mainstream media. It's upon us to try to put these things together and have it all make sense. But I'm ranting. And like I said, if you guys have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below, as well as the documents that we went over, things like Project Sunstreak, things like Project Centerland, Project Grow Flame, and that much more. I'll be having a few links in the description bar as well that lead to the website and the exclusive member feed that we will be doing. If you guys have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys, stay vigilant. Expose lies and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out. Getting real tired.